You're listening to a Sun Life podcast. We pray that you be blessed by the teaching of God's word. For more information, visit sunlife.org.au. Enjoy the sermon.
Well, good morning. Good morning. What a joy. What a joy to worship the Lord with you. If we haven't met yet, my name is Bin, and I'm one of the pastors and leaders here. Last week I was away, and we had Ga Hing there, shared the word of God. Give him a round of applause. Like, is there anything that Ga Hing cannot do? Like, phenomenal preacher last week. He's playing drums this week. He's doctor during the week. What a blessing, hey? And what a blessing that God is raising up so many great communicators and preachers in our church. And I'll tell you right now, second half of the year, I'm going to introduce to you another person who's joined the preaching team. And so get ready for that. And like, God has just graced this church with so many great communicators. And we are so blessed. So if you see them around, please, pray with them, encourage them, bless them. And so if you see Guy Hing, I know he's quite embarrassed. He's ran at the back somewhere. Just tell him. Were you blessed last week with what Guy Hing had to say? Yeah. Should we hear more of Guy Hing? Yes, hallelujah. Can I just say a few things before I teach the word of God? Is that I always remind every one of us that when we gather on Sunday, we don't come to church. We are the church. The church is the body of Christ. We come to worship Jesus. Yeah, we come to exalt Him. We come to remind ourselves that by the grace of God, we're still here. By the grace of God, He's kept us around and we get to worship Him. And then as we sing and pray, we look around and we remind ourselves that, hey, we're not in this alone. That there are other people who've given their lives to the Lord and their fellow brothers and sisters. That God has blessed us with these beautiful people here who are our family. And that we get to grow together in the ways of Jesus. Look around, you're so many people. And this is just the AM service, and we have the PM service as well too. And God is doing a beautiful work. And I say this all the time, that as we get larger as a community, we've got to get smaller in the way we know one another and care for one another and love one another, because the world we live in, wow, the culture of this world is so strong. Amen? The stuff that we're seeing on social media, I tell you right now, the devil, he's finding ways to really influence our thinking with the phone. Like the amount of stuff that you're reading and watching, devil's finding that as a tool to really get into us, especially young people. Culture is so strong, and we have to remind ourselves that we're not in this alone, that we have each other, and we are family, and that we are to grow together and care for each other and love each other to help us keep following Jesus. I tell you right now, if you're following Jesus alone, it is so hard. It is so hard, yeah? Hands up if you feel that on a Sunday, you're closer to Jesus on a Sunday. Yeah, well, okay, that's a poor illustration right there. But isn't it so true that when we have other people around us, it helps us? And look around you. This is a beautiful community of people who are not perfect, people who, by the grace of God, that God would save and draw to Himself, and that we have each other, and we get to grow together as we follow Jesus. And so praise God that you're here, that you're worshiping the Lord, and praise God that we get to really fix our eyes upon His word right now as I teach His word. And I do pray that you would hear Him and that you will leave challenged by what He has to say. Amen? Amen. If you're new here, and if you, and I know we tried to do this earlier on, but if you're new here and you feel that, hey, you know what, it's okay that you're new. We would love to give you something. Can you find one of the welcome team members? Because we've got a bag of goodies just to give you more about our church and what we believe in and where we're going. And that might help you in your journey of following Jesus. If it's here, praise God. We'd love to follow Jesus with you here. Is that okay? Okay. Hands up if you have children. Hands up, you got kids? Okay. Now, is it true, parents, that we are their biggest influence? Think about it, right? Like, children are always watching us. They're always learning from us. Is that right? And they end up being like our mini-me's. Oh, yeah. Like, I tell you right now, I can tell, and this is not a spiritual gift, by the way, but I can tell which child belongs to which parent at Sun Life Church. It's so true. Is that right? It's because they look like you. They probably walk like you, right? They probably behave like you. They dress like you. Is that right? Like, if you're one of those arty-farty kind of fashion stylish person, there's a very good chance that your child will be like that, very stylish. Is that right? Like if you're one of those who loves camping and outdoors and, you know, fishing and all that, there's a very good chance that your children, your child, would love the outdoors. Is that right? Do you agree? Like, if you're one of those that are very sporty and you're always, you know, running and swimming and hiking and kicking the footy, there's a very good chance that your child will be sporty. Is that right? Yeah. If you are one of those that are very musically gifted and you can play all the instruments on the face of the planet and you happen to be Asian, there's a very good chance that your child's first instrument is the piano. Is that right? Amen? Hallelujah? Because we influence our kids. Yeah. Now, look what psychologist Laura Markham, she writes this. She says, children are sponges, all right? And they absorb everything around them. Isn't it true? They're absorbing everything. And she talks about parents. They absorb our emotions, our behaviors, and our attitude. Is that right? That's why children, right, you're like mini-me. Kids, you're like mini-me of your parents. What's that saying? The apple doesn't fall far from the tree, right? Because they are looking at parents, they're learning from parents, and they're really a smaller version of you. And surely if we are children of God, and God is Father, then surely our goal is to be more like God. And that's what God is doing, right? Forever God is what changing us so that we will represent Him well, that we are, in a way, listen carefully, we're mini gods. Not in the sense that we are divine, no. We are godly, which means that we represent the God who is our Father. Right, St. Augustine, he says this, God is changing us from glory to glory, from one degree of glory to another. God, that's He, is changing us into His own image that we may be like Him. You see that? And so if you belong to God, if God is Father and you are a child of God, surely He is changing you and you want to be changed by Him one degree at a time so that ultimately you may be like Him. Is that right? And if God is a God of love, because the Bible is very clear that God is love, surely we are to love people like our Father. And I titled my message, Loving Like Our Father. So if you have your Bible, turn with me to 1 John. This is the Epistle of John, chapter 4, from verses 7 to 12. And so this message is part of our Ripples of Love series. So let me read the Word of God, and I'll give you some observation. So 1 John, chapter 4, verses 7 to 12. John writes, Dear friends, let us love one another, for love comes from God. Everyone who loves has been born of God and knows God. Whoever does not love does not know God, because God is love. And this is how God showed His love among us. That's God, that's He, sent His one and only Son, that's Jesus, right? Into the world that we might live through Him. And this is love. Not that we love God, no, but that He, that's God, loved us. And He sent His Son as an atoning sacrifice for our sins. Dear friends, that's brothers and sisters, since God so loved us, we also ought to love one another. And then verse 12, no one has ever seen God, but if we love one another, God lives in us. And His love is made complete in us. You know, 13 times the word love is mentioned in this short passage. And right in the middle, we see that John says God is love. And this passage speaks of how God is a God of love. And John encourages the early Christian to follow the Father and to love like Him. There are four observations that I see in the text that helps us to love like the Father. And so if you're taking notes, you can do that with the church app or a pen and paper. And I'll give you the four observations if we want to love like our Father. Is that okay? So let me pray and we'll work the text together. Let me pray. God, I pray now that You will help me as I teach and preach and expound, expose your word to your people this morning. Holy Spirit, I need you. I need you to help me. I need you to speak to the beautiful people before me, and we would leave this morning knowing how to love like you. And so would you help us, God, to be people of love, because we belong to a God of love. So would you use me right now? Would you help me right now? In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Four observations. Here's the first one. It is difficult, but it's possible. It is very difficult, but it's possible. Look at verse 7 and 8 again. John says, "Dear friends, let us love one another, for love comes from God. Everyone who loves has been born of God and knows God. Whoever does not love does not know God, because God is love." You know, loving people, right, is not too hard, right? Not too difficult if they're lovable. Is that right? If they're cute, if they're kind, if they add value to us. I think if everyone here in this church tick all those boxes, it'll be very easy to love one another. Is that right? But we live in a broken world. We live in a fallen world where, honestly, we are not all lovable. We are not all cute, except probably my wife. I mean, she wanted me to add that sentence in, otherwise. No, she did. I made that up. But isn't it true that we're not all lovable, and we're not all cute, and we're not all kind, and we do not add value to one another? That's the reality. And so sometimes I find that it's very, very hard to love people around us. And sometimes our love becomes very conditional. And maybe right now as I share this, you're like, there's someone maybe even in this church that I find it very hard to love. Or maybe right now there's a colleague or maybe a family member where you go, "Bin, you don't get it. I just don't have any ounce in me to love that person. It is impossible." And I want to say this, it's okay to think like that, because there'll be times where it's very hard to love certain people. But I want to encourage you, because the text gives us a way out of that. Because if you read the text carefully, the love that John speaks of here is not a human emotional love, but a divine supernatural love that comes from God. So look in verse 7 again. He says that this love here comes from God. He says that you want to love people who are not adding value to you, people who are not cute, people who are nasty, people who are unlovable. Don't use your human emotional love, because it's not going to work. He says here, there's a love that comes from God, right? This source of divine love, supernatural love, is not from us, but from God. You can try to love people with your love, your human love, good luck. But I think it's limited. But if you are willing to draw from God's divine supernatural love that God offers to you, I think it's possible. Because you notice in the text, he says this, everyone who loves, which is from this divine love, has been born of God and know God. You notice that, right? And the language of being born again in the New Testament speaks of a supernatural new birth, right? And so if you understand in the Bible, when you give your life to Jesus and you trust in Jesus and you surrender your life to Jesus, you've been born again and he gives you his Holy Spirit, who is God, who lives in us. And then at that point, God has this divine supernatural love that he offers you to use to love those that are unlovable. It's in here. And God says, if you want to love those who are not kind to you, those who are maybe evil and harmful, don't use your love. Use a love that comes from God himself. A supernatural divine love. And if you begin to ask God for that love, I believe it's possible. Because to love someone with your love, I think it's conditional. It's limited. But if you draw from a divine supernatural love, it is possible. I'll tell you a story. Corrie ten Boom, if you know, she's a Dutch Christian. I've got a photo over here right here. She was captured by the Nazi and sent to the concentration camp in World War II. And what she did was that she was hiding Jewish people in her home, in her house. And when the Nazi discovered this, they sent her, her sister, and her father to the concentration camp. Her father and sister, they were executed. And we don't know why, but somehow she was released a few weeks before the people in her camp were all executed. So she was released. And she goes around sharing the good news because she knew Jesus. And in her book, The Hiding Place, she writes of a moment where she's sharing the gospel in Munich, Germany. And she's teaching about the love of God, the forgiveness of God. And she's sharing to all these Germans. And at the end of the message, she invites people to come forward to experience the forgiveness and the love of God. And people started coming forward towards her. And she's about to minister to these people. And she noticed this particular man who stood up and made his way towards the front of the altar. She realized who he was. He was one of the Nazi guard who ordered the execution of her father and sister. As he was approaching her, there was rage and there was bitterness. Because this was the man that sent my family to death. So as this man began to make his way towards the front of the church, Corrie ten Boom began to pray this very simple prayer. She just said this, God, will you help me? God, I need your help right now. Would you help me? And as this Nazi, officer came forward, there was this overwhelming love, not from her, from God, through her, to forgive and embrace and love this man. I think sometimes we need to say to God, God, I can't do this apart from you. Would you help me? I'm broken and I'm weak and I'm poor in spirit. And if I am to love someone with my own human love, it's not going to happen. So God, would you help me? Holy Spirit, will you give me your strength to love this person and just stand there in the stillness and let God's Spirit do what he does best to change hearts and let him help you love someone that is unlovable. It's difficult, but it is possible with a divine supernatural love that comes from God. And that's what I see in the text. And I want to encourage that to someone here this morning, that maybe there is a person right now that you really struggle. It could be a family member. It could be a colleague. It could even be someone in this particular auditorium. Maybe it's time to say, God, I need your help because I can't do this apart from you. Jesus did say, unless you remain in me, you can't do anything. I need more of you, Jesus. Will you help me? That's my very first point here. That if you feel that it's impossible, it's so difficult, I want to encourage you that it is possible through a divine, supernatural love that God offers. Amen? Secondly, is that this love is dynamic. It's not static. It's a moving love. Well, we see in verse 9, John says that this is how God showed his love among us, that he sent his one and only Son into the world that we might live through him. What did John write? God sent, God gave up, God moved into our history. This is the same John that wrote in the gospel, if you remember, in John 3:16 and 17. Let me read the gospel of John. For God so loved the world that he gave, you see that? That's dynamic. His one and only Son, that whoever believes in him shall not perish but have eternal life. For God did not send his Son into the world to condemn the world, but to save the world through him. God's love is dynamic, my friends. It is moving. There is action. It's not just words. And if you want to love like the Father, your love must be moving. It must be actions. What's that saying? Action speaks louder than words. Is that right? I'll take you to James' writing. James is the brother of Jesus. And in James chapter 2, look what James says. Suppose a brother or a sister is without clothes or daily food. And if one of you, so he's speaking to the Christians, right? If one of you, right, says to them, go in peace and keep warm and well fed, but does nothing about their physical needs, what good is it? You see that? What's the point saying to someone, I love you, I forgive you, I care for you, and doing nothing about it? Because when you truly love someone or you truly care for someone, you tend to show that with tangible actions. Is that right? If someone needs help, you show up, you're there for them. Is that right? If someone is hurting, you would find ways to help with the healing process. Is that right? And you find that that's what we see in God. And what God is saying is that the type of love that I have for this world is a dynamic love. And if you are my children, then you must love like that as well. Don't just say, I love you, I forgive you, I care for you. Actually, live it out. You know, I love a particular sponge cake. I've got a picture here. It's called a pandan chiffon cake, sponge cake. Hands up, you know what I'm talking about? Yeah. Wonderful, wonderful. There's a particular Sun Lifer. I won't mention the person. I don't want to embarrass the person who every now and then, just out of the blue, with no appointment, just drives to my house and drops off this cake. Yeah. Just we'll come home and on the porch, there's this pandan cake. This person would bake the cake and then just drive and just bless us. There was one occasion on my day off where this person came and I opened the door and this person had the cake there. And I said to this person, you know, you don't have to. And she replied by saying, you're right, I don't have to, but I want to show my appreciation for what you're doing here. I felt so loved. I felt that this person really appreciated what I'm trying to do here at Sun Life Church. Because of the effort, buying the ingredients, baking the cake, and then driving from her house all the way to my place. I felt so blessed. You see, words are cheap, is that right? But actions, they're priceless. When someone actually does something, you feel, wow, that person genuinely loves me. Amen? Amen? Now, before I move to my next point, let me tell you some of the other desserts I love. I love tiramisu. I love ice chendol, sticky date pudding, durian, onde, yeah, mau mau, you know, bring it on. Okay, that's a joke, right? But I want you to go with me to John 13. I want to show you something in John 13, verse 1. Having loved his own, this is Jesus, who were in the world, he, that's Jesus, now showed them the full extent of his love. Do you remember what Jesus did next in this particular chapter? Do you remember? Has anyone? Hands up. There'll be a prize if you get this right. Chapter 13. Don't turn to chapter 13. Having shown the full extent of his love for these people, what did he do next? If you know in chapter 13, he began to demonstrate his love by washing their feet. You see, he didn't just say, I love you. I'm going to show it. It's not static. I love you. It's dynamic. I'm going to get down on my knee, take that towel, and wash your feet. And then he says this at the end of that passage in verse 14 and 15. Now that I, your Lord and teacher, have washed your feet, you also should wash one another's feet. I have set you an example that you should do as I have done for you. You see that? God in the flesh, Jesus says, now, because I have done this for you, I've set you an example, you are to love like this. It's a dynamic love. It's more than words. It requires action. And that's the type of love that I believe that the Father wants his children to love. Amen? Thirdly, it's a selfless and not a selfish love. It's selfless. Look in verse 10. This is love. Not that we love God, but that he loved us and he sent his son as an atoning sacrifice for our sins. What does the text teach us? What did God do? He gave up his son as a sacrifice. Who loved first? It wasn't us. God loved us first. Something is selfless when the focus is on the other and not the self and there's a cost involved. Amen? That's why selflessness is always a sacrifice, all right? And I think where the Western culture, where us in the Western world struggle is that we are not very selfless being. By nature, I think we are very selfish. You look at children, you study kids, and no one has ever taught them the art of selfishness, but it's there. Is that right? At a young age. That's why every parent on the face of this planet would say those three words. Sharing is caring. All right, it's so true, right? Like you don't have to teach your kid to be generous. They're just selfish by nature. And in the Aussie culture, in this particular country we live in, we have this culture of competitiveness, full-on competition. Are you with me? You notice that? You know, embedded in the Aussie culture is this spirit of just competitiveness. We just want to beat everyone. Go out to a weekend sports, Saturday sports, and watch the parents, right? You have parents who are more passionate in winning than their kids playing. Is that right? Yeah, you know what I'm talking about, right? Sadly, you have parents, you know, screaming and abusing umpires who are teenagers just doing their best to ref a game. Is that right? And then you've got the super ultra competitive parent who's coaching from the sideline when they're not even the coach. Are you with me, right? It's so true. Go out to the weekend sports and you see it. I mean, it doesn't apply to us at Sun Life Church because you're not like that, right? You're beautiful people, right? But you know what I mean, right? The mentality in this culture is that I'm going to outdo everyone so that I'm better than them. That's the culture. But the sad thing about that mentality is that it puts the self as a priority. Therefore, it's all about me, not someone else. And at a young age, kids are like that. But the ways of God is very, very different. We are to love people selflessly. We are to remind ourselves that it's not about us, it's about the people around us. That's the reason why I believe that John here reminds him of the gospel, what Jesus did for them, that he gave up his life as an atoning sacrifice for them so that they may live. And I think it's so healthy for us as followers of Jesus to always remind ourselves of the gospel, to remind ourselves daily what Jesus has done for us. That's why we take communion first Sunday of the month. But I think we don't have to wait for the first Sunday of the month to remember Jesus. We should remember Jesus daily. Remember what he has done for us. Remember the gospel. And I believe out of that, you will find yourself being more selfless. Because your God has given up everything for you. Surely you can be selfless in the way you love your family, love your community, love the people in this church here. Because the gospel is clearly a picture of a God who gave up everything to be us and then to die for us. And we who belong to his kingdom are to be selfless. If we don't remind ourselves of the good news, what happens is that culture gets the better of us. And because we live in this culture where it's all about us outdoing people, being the top dog, well, what happens? We become so self-focused and we become selfish. But when we remind of a selfless God who gave up his son for us, it changes us. And we want to be like our father and we want to love like our father in a selfless way. That's the key right there. To find time to remember what he has done for us. Paul says this to the Ephesians in chapter 4, verse 1 and 2. He says, I urge you, he urges the church, the Christians, to live a life worthy of the calling that you have received. The calling is the gospel, the good news. In other words, live worthy of what God has done for you, to completely be what? Humble, gentle, be patient, bearing with one another in love. That's what we've got to do. And I'll tell you right now, I believe that this church here, you do that so well. I'm not blowing up your balloon or anything. Listen carefully. A lot of you here, you do that so well, and I am grateful for you. You really encourage me a lot. I see a lot of selfless love in this church here. I hear stories of Connect leaders going and spending time with a member, praying for their member, crying with their member. I see how you are there with one another in the ups and downs. It's selfless. It's because in those moments, you don't have to do it. Because you could be at home in the comfort of your room, but you choose to be there with someone. And I'm so thankful that that's a culture in our church. That you give up your time to be with one another. That's selfless love. You know, I hear many stories in this church here where, you know, for some of you here, you are just providing your service to one another. You know, one of the families in our church here had an incident and you know, the child broke a limb. And there was somehow someone found out in this church, and within a matter of days, that child is on the operation theater having surgery. And that's because, you know, you choose to love selflessly. And I thank God for how you do it so well, Sun Life Church. You know it's selfless when it's going to cost you your time. Because your time is precious, but you choose to say, no, I'm going to be there for a brother or sister. I want to love them. You know it's selfless when it costs you your talents and your treasures, where you could be using your talents or your money for your own gain, but you choose it to bless someone else. And so I want to say thank you, Sun Life Church. Keep doing that, because that's how we love like our Father, to love in a selfless way. And I believe that is something that we can continue to keep doing in our church. Amen. Lastly, here's my last point here. To love like a father, it is also a communal love, not an individual love. It's a community. I'll show you in the text. In verse 11 and 12 says, dear friends, since God so loved us, we also ought to love one another. No one has ever seen God, but if we love one another, God lives in us and his love is made complete in us. You won't see this in the English text, but in the Greek text, Paul uses an imperative verb which talks about this is not optional. This is a command. But he uses a particular Greek word that emphasizes community. So in the Greek text, Paul is saying, not some of you love, every one of you love. It's plural. And so what he's saying right here is that if you belong to the community of faith here at Sun Life Church, if you belong to the body of Christ, if you're a church, everyone must love one another, not just some. Everyone to love each other. If you belong to Jesus and you belong to this church, you are to love the people here. There's no exception. It's not optional. It's everyone here. It's communal. It's community. And then John gives the reason why. Look carefully in verse 12. No one has ever seen God, but if we love one another, everyone, God lives in us and his love is made complete in us. Wow, that's hard to understand. God is invisible, but he's made visible when we love one another. But you notice the word complete. What John is saying here is that the love of God is brought to its full expression, perfection, and completion when we love one another. In a way, God chooses to express his love through his people. He says, when you love each other, the world will see me because I am invisible, but I am made visible when you love one another, and your love completes my love for this world. He includes us in that loving process. He says, now my children, oh, love one another, because it will bring the expression of my love for this world to completion. And if you don't love, or if this church lacks love, unfortunately, we don't close the deal. God is waiting for every one of us to love so that we can bring his love to full completion. I want to show you that with an illustration before I finish. I hope this works. I used to be a science teacher many years ago. Okay. I used to be a science teacher. And I thought of this, just end of the week. I need two volunteers. I promise you won't get electrocuted. I've had this checked via the electrician in our church. And if he's wrong, I've already, you know, asked some doctor to be on standby. It's okay. It's all good. Eli, Asunde, come on. Come on stage. Give them a round of applause. You hold this. Eli, you come here. Hope this works. You see, when we all love each other, I think it's like a electric circuit. We're all connected. And so when, say, Eli loves well, when he grabs that and you touch that there, you hold that, yep. And on Sunday, you come here and you hold this. And you hold this, right? And you guys touch that. And when I love well, and we all love, we complete that circuit. And I hope this works. But when we do that, see that? it lights up. Now give them a round of applause. But let me make my point. Thank you so much, guys. Here's my point. Is that God chooses us as a community to love one another so that we complete His love like a circuit. But when we choose not to love because it's too hard, or we don't want to love because of our stubbornness, we break that circuit. And the world will see an invisible God when we love each other, every one of us. And people begin to realize there is a God who loves them, a God who offers community, family to those who are orphaned. And so I encourage us to keep those four things close to heart. Loving like the Father. Oh, it is difficult, but it is possible. Why? Through that supernatural divine love that comes from God. It is possible. Remember that love there, it's dynamic. It's not static. There's action. Not just words. Words are cheap. Action, they're priceless. Amen? It's selfless, not selfish. And lastly, it includes everyone, communal, not individual. Not just one person, this person, but we all get a part to play that. And I believe we remember those four points. We will love like our Father. And we create ripples of love to display the invisible God who is made visible in the way we love one another. Amen? Amen. Let me pray for you. Father God, thank you so much for your word. Thank you so much for helping us to see how we are to love like you. So I pray for Sun Life Church. I pray that we would just continue to love people, even if it's hard. Help us right now to use a love that comes from you. Oh Lord, I pray for this community. I pray for this church as we create ripples of love throughout this year. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Amen. Why don't we be upstanding? Why don't we just worship God in this time here?